Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Boo! This is Wretched Radio. Welcome to Wine Fest, and I'm not talking about what you get today. What do they call them down here in the South? The liquor stores are called box stores? Isn't that what they call them?
I don't know. I thought they called them liquor stores.
No, they're like box stores. And I remember when we first moved from Minnesota to Georgia, and I saw box stores, and it's like, well, that's kind of niche. You know, you sell boxes, but hey, if you can make a living. But I think that's what they call them, box stores or liquor stores. We're not talking about that kind of wine. I'm talking about Jimmy.
I'm never telling you anything again.
Jimmy, you having a hard day in there?
How come? I just said that we need to make another reminder that I can't respond on the text line. 1-866-282-2337. I can't respond.
Because people are kind of beating you up over it.
Huh? They want a private response. And I can't. I cannot respond to you.
Well, you know, maybe is there a switch we need to flip in order to make that happen?
I'm sure there is.
Probably. 877-282-2337. Please note, poor Jimmy can't respond to you. You can also send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
This is from Anonymous. This is an uncomfortable question, but relevant. What is your opinion on public displays of affection between a boyfriend and girlfriend? I'm not talking about something sinful, but rather what some might consider regular displays of affection or love.
Yep. Relationships need to be defined by the Bible, which does define relationships. And we see a limited number of categories. You see friends, that's affirmed. You see husband and wife, that's affirmed. You see fellow Christians, that's affirmed. Now, each one of those categories, it tells us how we are supposed to behave with one another regarding intimate acts, physical acts, romantic displays of affection. Well, let's just work through it, shall we? What sort of romantic affection are you supposed to be showing your friends? None. All right. What about your family? Well, yeah, I can hug them, certainly. All right. What about your fellow believers? And if you dare to say you can greet them with a holy kiss and use that to say that it's okay to smooch a girlfriend, it's greet each other warmly. That was the custom of the day. So we greet each other warmly still. But at least in the West, we don't go about the business of doing the air kiss thing to each side or however they were doing it in the first century. What about between you dating a girl or a boy, whichever gender? Do we know gender in this instance? Are you going to just assign a gender?
It sounds like a girl.
Okay. So we will, I don't want to.
I'm sorry.
It would be horrible for us to impose a gender on this person. What does the Bible say about boyfriend, girlfriend? Cue the crickets. It doesn't say anything. So that means you're in a Western 21st century, even 20th century, maybe even 19th century category, but not a biblical category. You are a friend and you are a believer. That's what you are with the person that you're dating. What are the rules for friends and fellow believers? We don't do romantic gestures because those categories do not allow it. Therefore, if you're dating somebody. I would even say if you're engaged to somebody, that the Bible just does not give permission until you're married. Now, having said that, I get it. It does get a little bit dicier when it comes to engagement because biblically what we see, again, I think it's descriptive, not prescriptive, that when you were betrothed to somebody, that was a legal deal. That's why Joseph talked about putting Mary away to do it as privately as possible because they committed to one another. It's like that they didn't do the marriage ceremony, but they were betrothed and that was a legal agreement. I don't think that's what we have these days when it comes to engagement. It's not a legally binding sort of relationship. So with all of that said, I know it sounds rather, no, it sounds fully puritanical. It's very old school. But unless the Bible gives us permission to behave with marital relationship privileges with somebody that we're dating, then I think you have to abstain from all forms of romantic affection for one another. Okay, what about holding hands? I think you can hold hands. I mean, in some countries, friends hold hands. Sometimes same-sex friends, they link arms and they walk arm. So it can be a cultural thing. I'm not sure that holding hands is as romantic as, say, a kiss on the mouth, hugging closely. Those are more romantic gestures. So I think that the ability to display romantic affection simply doesn't belong to your current category. Good news, get married and you can enjoy all the rights and privileges of that particular category. 877-282-2337.
Okay, staying in the realm of relationships, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I recently went through a breakup with my girlfriend from church and I'm looking for ways to hand my burdens over to Christ. Sometimes I find myself slipping back into worries or feelings of sadness, especially when I see her. As a high school student, I also have a strong desire to become a husband in the future. How can I patiently wait for that while trusting in God's timing?
Well, that was a lot. You cast all of your cares on the Lord. You ask for His strength. Now, if I might connect these two questions, if you were still in the category of friend, which you were, and if you had drawn the lines and stayed within the boundaries, it wouldn't be as weird seeing her because you're still friends. You're still brother and sister in Christ. So there's another benefit to not linking your heart to somebody else in an unauthorized category way. It doesn't become weird when you break up. Now, I don't know the history of your particular relationship, but when you see her and it's sad, just like the mourning of any loss, you have to work through that. I would say this, though. It would be so good for both of you if you both stay in that church. You'll grow from it. You'll mature from it. Having to see somebody that you would have liked to perhaps advance a relationship with and yet still have a relationship, it will mature you. So don't run from it. Cast your cares on the Lord. Be pleasant. It's a friend. It's a sister in Christ. Treat them as such and even enjoy fellowship with one another. And then how do you prepare? Was it how do I get ready for marriage?
Yeah. So how can I patiently wait while trusting in God's timing?
Yeah. Just like that. Trust His timing. Trust that the Lord is sovereign. Trust that the Lord is good. Trust that the Lord only does things for His children, never to His children. So if you're not married and you want to be married, it is because God has decided this is currently what is best for you. Is it hard? Yep. Is it painful? Sure. Can you mourn that? Absolutely. But you can also rest in knowing God is good all the time. And this is such a helpful word for all of us when we are not where we want to be or we're not experiencing what we want to experience. Like, why? And the answer from the heavens would be, because this is best for you. He doesn't withhold good things because He's stingy or wants to watch you wriggle. He withholds good things because that is what is best for you. I would also add to that, it is because he's also got work for you to do in your current status, in your current zip code, in your current socioeconomic level. He has got works prepared for you to step into. So step into those works, whatever season that you're in, step into it, knowing that God is good. 877-282-2337.
I would also recommend to this young man picking up The Complete Husband by Lou Priolo and start preparing now for that day.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you here's a rule for all of us. Let's just say that you want to be a pastor. You're 16, you're 17, you want to be a pastor. Start acting like one now. You want to be a husband? Start acting like one now. You want to be a great dad? Start treating the children in your at your church well now. It's rehearsal for the actual, and it will grow you. Lou Priolo's book is really helpful, and right now, it's got to be about as cheap as you're going to find it anywhere. I think we've also got, do we have Martha Peace, The Excellent Wife? I think are both at the Fortas Institute. Everything is on fire sale right now. It is a, it's, if you can afford it, go get it because we're liquidating all of our hard copies, those books, all of our hard copy, DVD, whatever is at FortasInstitute.org. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortas Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortas Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortas Forum available right now for free at FortasPlus.org. That's FortasPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promise to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortasPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortasPlus.org. You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortas Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortas Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Lawson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortas Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortasInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortasInstitute.org.
Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching.
introduced the regulative principle and brought a republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy's pants aren't exactly on fire, but they're smoldering. This is Wretched Radio. Those two books that Jimmy just recommended are sold out.
They are sold out in the Fortis store.
Yep, at fortisinstitute.org. If you go there, we've got a link. It'll take you, I think, to Amazon.
Uh-huh.
But this would perhaps encourage you, if you are looking to participate in our, this is like the cheapest of cheap sale, because we're no longer going to sell stuff here at Fortis Institute. Make it snappy before it is gone. All gone. FortisInstitute.org. When you're done shopping, send Wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, would you say that a man who does not hold to a young earth belief is or is not qualified to be a deacon or elder? I ask because the elders at my church appointed a deacon who maintains an old earth view, and I wonder if this is a poor leadership decision.
Do you know if Ken Ham is listening to this program?
Don't.
That will determine my answer. there's a bunch of stuff that needs to be considered in this. Do you want to have a deacon or an elder who is not in alignment with your church faith statement on something that is not an essential, but it certainly is substantial? It's not an irrelevant issue. Do you want a deacon or an elder as part of the team who can't actually teach what it is that they believe or talk to anybody about it? So I think that there are some polity issues that you would probably need to work through. But on the face of it, I would say, so we'll remove it from the context of your church. What I'm saying is there's some practical considerations in the context of your local church. But in principle, I would say that would not be a disqualifier. It's a big deal. And yes, I hope all understand there could be entanglements in an old earth position that become very problematic, assuming that that is not the case. He just has not visited the Ark Encounter or the Creation Museum and studied enough on the subject. I don't think that would be a disqualifier. I think it could cause challenges in the context of your local church, but I don't think that we could say that that's a disqualifier, because it's not an essential doctrine, nor is it a doctrine. It could be, but I think on the face of it, it's not a doctrine that makes doing church life really impossible, like baptism. I think that is just Presbyterians and Baptists, we can love one another. Doing church together would be very difficult to do when you've got both views trying to coexist with one another. So I think that there can be some of those issues a little bit with the creation issues that you'd have to sort. But I don't think that would be a disqualifier, as it's a secondary, or you could maybe even argue, no, secondary issue is about right.
It's a secondary issue, but let me throw something else at you. Yeah. Would it not necessarily be a disqualifier for a deacon, but maybe an elder because of the teaching?
Well, that's why you'd have to work it out.
Right.
If you've got some, but this is true of everything. Jimmy, eschatology.
Mm-hmm.
You've got somebody who's qualified to be an elder, but they share a different eschatology than the church statement of faith.
Yeah.
Now, assuming, of course, that eschatology is within orthodoxy, would you let that guy serve as an elder?
That's a long discussion. I have a belief. I think all the elders should be in alignment on the statement of faith.
With everything?
With the church's statement of faith, I do.
Okay, because?
Because it can cause disunity.
I know that. That's why there would have to be a prenup, which would say, on this issue, you can't talk about it, you can't teach it, you can't express your opinion on it. We're going to keep things buttoned down here. So if that were the case, would that disqualify that guy, in your opinion, from being an elder?
If there were some concessions there, maybe not.
Yeah, see, I get that. I think that that would have to be sorted because it can cause problems, and it does cause disunity.
And I think every group of elders is different.
Okay.
I just think the personalities in the room and every group of elders, how they mesh together, I think it can be different. And so I think they have to, it's different decisions for different churches, I think.
All right. So all that to say, got to be careful that we don't make a law where there is no law. And yet we do, I think the more we can defend a church statement of faith, it's probably safer for the church. Now, I know that there are some churches that would, they actually on any secondary issue would say, no problem, no problem. Age of the earth, eschatology could be another, covenantalism versus dispensationalism. They would just say, no problem. Now, they also then have an expectation of the congregation, that the congregation realizes that there are some differences of opinion here on these things. Now, I'm gonna stick with the comments that I made earlier about the situation of creation versus old earth, but I can see why some churches would do what I just described, because we Christians should be able to get along when there are differences of opinion on secondary and tertiary issues. We should be able to coexist lovingly together. And this could actually help to foster and grow that. Now, having said that, there can be some practical challenges that I think become really deep. I think the baptism one is probably a biggie. I would say that speaking in tongues would become a very difficult issue inside of a church when you got these people, yes, these people, no. It would just become so impractical. But can an elder still serve as an elder with a difference of opinion on a secondary issue? I think so. Asterisk. 877-282-2. You disagree?
I don't disagree. I just think it's a complex issue.
Well, it is. And I think, you know what? And that's why I think we let each church sort that and figure that out. I'd bring my opinion. And now, if let's just say this came up at Alpharetta Bible Church, I like to think that I would be able to go, yeah, we can work through this. We got to have some boundaries on this thing. I like to say that I would behave that way and stick to my principles. But I don't think that I would say that those principles need to be enforced on your, like if your church decided, no, we can't do that, I wouldn't call you a heretic. Mm. I wouldn't disfellowship from you as a brother simply because you're wrong. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Jack. Todd, I used to struggle with consistently reading my Bible, but by God's grace, he has recently given me a deeper desire to spend time in his word daily. However, I notice that I spend most of my time in the New Testament and have much less desire to study the Old Testament, even though I know it's filled with many important lessons. Is it wrong that I'm focusing so much of my time on the New Testament?
Not necessarily. If it isn't because I don't like the Old Testament. I understand why you drift toward the right side of the book. It's a fuller revelation of salvation. It is a fuller, clearer, technicolor picture of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's just got more. That's all. It's a newer, it's a better covenant. So I can understand you gravitating toward that. In fact, I would say this, you should. In fact, if you're spending more time in the Old Testament than in the New Testament, I would say you're probably missing out, but I'm not sure that I would make that same rule, if you will, in reverse. I think that you should find a balance. You should make sure that you're not neglecting it, that you're not becoming untethered from the Old Testament. And I think that that means that you should somehow in your schedule of daily readings, set some time aside for that. I wouldn't make a law about that and a rule about that. And I don't think that it's horrible if you ever just did nothing but read the New Testament. I think by unhitching it totally like that, you're right. Whoever wrote this is exactly right. You're missing out on some stuff. You won't be able to enjoy your New Testament as much if you're not reading your Old Testament. How much should that be every day? Up to you. And let's be careful too, because even if I said, well, okay, let's just as a general principle, do 70-30, 70% New Testament, 30% Old Testament. I can't do that. There could be seasons where it's like, you know, I just need to be in the New Testament. There might be a season where it's like, you know what? I'm going to read through the book of Genesis so that my creation theology is spot on and I can be an elder in Jimmy's church. Otherwise, I can't come up with the formula or the exact percentages. It depends on seasons. It depends on where you're at in your walk. It depends on the, sorry for this, rhythms of your life and what's going on. So wouldn't make a law where there is no law, but adjust as you need to. And if you've neglected the OT for a long time, I would encourage you to figure out a way to incorporate it. Now, that incorporation, by the way, might just be that you're always going back. You use your cross references. So when you, those little tiny numbers on the side, and you see, oh, something from Malachi. Well, then just dive back there because it's probably going to illuminate your understanding of that verse in the New Testament. In other words, there's a lot of different ways to do it. There's a lot of different structures that you can create based on you. This is Wretched Radio.